order at 5:30
and establish the quorum.
Karen Ward here.
Kitty Shields
here.
Frank Schultz here.
Stu Martinez present.
Kathy Egan present.
Connie Greer is here.
And the mayor's here. So, let me look here. And lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I just got tucked in.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Hey, it's looking up.
Okay, we are at item number 4, and it's election of a chair. Anybody want to just jump right out and volunteer? Honey?
Sir, if I have a little bit of help, I'll do it.
There's plenty of help.
All right.
So I nominate Connie.
And I'll say right off the bat, I will not accept a nomination because I am so fuzzy-headed with this cold and other things going on in my life. I'll be doing well to keep track of what's going on.
Thank
tonight.
You, Kitty.
Second.
Third.
All those in favor?
Aye.
It's approved. Madam Chair.
All right. So now we'll go on to number 5.
We want to just give her an idea of we're at the community presentations, I take it?
Of course I have my agenda. I haven't left home without it. just follow it. It's pretty simple. So you just kind of keep, if there's fighting or if someone...
I got to be a referee.
Getting too far out of line.
How are you doing?
Yeah, you're over here, Brian.
So what we're going to do now is have community presentations. And you know, if you want to find in your book what page is that on?
Is it chair?
Okay. We just do this to get so that these people go on with their evening,
sure.
And so on. So it's going to be a net tourism budget. So that is
page 7 on the sheet. I think they'll be up there. Audience, page 7. Okay.
Just start remembering the materials and services, the people that are here.
Well, yeah, basically, okay, there, side there, there you go. Perfect. It's hard to see, you can blow that up maybe a little bit. Ashley can.
7.
You're running the computer, Ashley can.
The work sample.
Because we don't need to worry about that. That's kind of the main part. So those sitting out here, you see, hit that one more time, maybe. And you've got it in front of you too. It's kind of hard. So what we did is we always like to offer the chance for any people in the community to come in and make a request to the city for funding. It's, you know, it's sometimes not something we would normally do. It could be tourism related, it could be untourism related, and then it gets thrown into our mix. And then these folks will go through and try to figure out how we can, if they choose to fund you, at what level, and how do we make it fit. Just so that you all know, and I think most of you do because you're repeats, although I'm not sure if you're a repeater.
I don't think so.
The fund mostly in here that we have is transient room tax revenue. Brian owns a motel, he pays some of it. By law, that's restricted to things that promote tourism, bring people to the community, advertising, things like that. Now, you get into that, it can be kind of broad. Is it hiring a policeman? Probably not. Is it hiring a fireman? No, it's not. Sometimes some cities try to get creative and say, well, what if the motel burns down, then, you know, that isn't the intent of it. The intent is that you're promoting things that bring people, an event that brings people, and it needs to bring people from out of the area, some people from Bend. I mean, it doesn't say that they have to be 30 miles away or 10 miles away, but you know what it means. It's one of those things, you just smell it, you know if it's if you're stretching it too far. And people always like us to stretch it. So with that, this is your chance to make a request. We'll get into the details of how much is available and some of those things tonight and tomorrow. And Corey's going to give a whole budget message. But we like to start it out so people don't have to sit through two nights and hours of this. Making a request, and then probably could be tomorrow when we actually will come up with it. So maybe if, Connie, you wanted to ask just different people that are here, that and they'll just one at a time, they could come sit down here. You know, if you want, make a request to us of, tell us about what it is and how much money you're asking for and where it is, and then we can kind of say if it sounds tourism-y or not tourism-y. You will know too. So I don't know who all's here for that.
So at this time, I'll open it up to community sponsorship presentations. Someone want to volunteer to go first?
I will.
All right.
My name is Wade Watson. I'm on the board of directors of Newberry Habitat for Humanity. We're obviously not tourism related. Dwayne Krumme is our executive director, and he's here with me tonight. First of all, we want to thank you for granting us $3,500 last year. That was very helpful. I'm not going to go through all of the generalities that I discussed a year ago, since many of the faces are familiar. But I think our situation has changed dramatically over the last couple of years, so I thought it would be useful to, first of all, start out with how our production has increased significantly. Newberry Habitat has been around for over 20 years. Prior to 2014, we produced a house a year, generally. In 2014, we built 1.5 houses, completed the half in 2015, and built 2.5 houses. And in 2016, we are working on 3 houses. If you've been driving by on Terry Park out of Mitts Way, the foundations are in and the floor for one of the units is in. The other side of the production equation is demand. And the 3 houses that we're completing this year are already committed to families. We have 2 strong candidates already for 2017 and a number of other applicants that we're in the process of processing. So certainly by fall, we will have our commitments made for 2017 production. So the demand has been really increasing dramatically, fueled most likely by the dramatic demand for rental housing in Deschutes County. I heard a presentation last week where a realtor said that she gets 7 or 8 calls a day for rentals, and you know, it breaks her heart to not be able to respond to them. That coupled with the escalating cost for those rentals, I think is probably fueling our demand, and that's probably not going to change, at least not for years to come. So the challenges that we are facing are, number one, trying to respond to that increased demand, ensuring a future supply of building lots. We've been fortunate to have 2 different subdivisions that we've been working in, but at the production rate of 3 houses per year, they're going away fast. So we're starting to look at land for 2019. We're going to start working in Newberry Woods, which is up by Wickiup Junction. Next year, may build that out in as little as 2 years. Some will spill over into the 3rd year. But we're assuming the worst case scenario for us, which is basically that we will build it out in 2018 and therefore have to have land by 2019. A lot of people react that that's 2.5 years away, but when you go through the planning, subdivision, and infrastructure process, 2.5 years is not very long at all. We're also facing increased construction costs, and one of the other challenges is obviously we've got to get money, and so we're trying to look at every way we can to try to increase revenue. We have the Restore out north of Wickiup Junction, and we're looking at starting to do conceptual planning for trying to expand that operation, since it's a significant revenue source for us. So the bottom line here is that hopefully you're not going to perceive we're greedy, but we're asking $4,000 or $5,000 this year instead of the $3,500 that we got last year. The reason for that is because we're expecting not only increased construction costs related to the housing, but we're anticipating that we're going to have to acquire and start the planning and platting process for new property, as well as we'll have planning and design costs related to the expanded Restore. So I'll entertain any questions you might have.
Does anybody have any questions?
I would just ask about you're talking about the building at the Restore,
mm-hmm.
and if you'd explain why you're building?
Well, two reasons. You know, it's functional, the building that we presently have. If you've been in there, you know that it's functional, but it's also pretty funky. And so it serves the purpose, but you know, it's probably more akin to a garage sale than it is to a first-class retail operation. So that would be the first reason, to try to improve the retail experience. Secondly, we lack sufficient space. We have to store a lot of things in really minimal conditions. We've got cabinetry that we salvage out of homes that are being remodeled that is basically in a shed. And you know, that kind of equipment is very weather sensitive. So we're trying to expand the footprint from about 4,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet. One of the critical things, obviously, is going to be raising money to do that, but we're being optimistic and going through the early planning processes.
Would that be on a different piece of land there? Or?
No, there's actually enough room on the south side. We okay. had a survey done just to ensure that that would be the case. And there's about 55 or 60 feet at the nearest point from the south boundary line.
Well, surveys aren't cheap.
Well, we were fortunate to find someone who was very generous with us, but
well, good.
We paid for it, but not as much as I anticipated we would have to. We are very fortunate to have a lot of very dedicated contractors locally that really have a heart for Habitat for Humanity, and you know, in this kind of marketplace, contractors can get work very easily, and most of them are fitting us in and continuing to do it at the prices that they were doing for the last 2 years.
How many people do you employ?
Well, Dwayne can probably answer that.
We employ in terms of headcount 5, and then of course the core of our workforce is a volunteer workforce that is in the summer and Restore. 100 to 150 people come out and help us with building and helping with the Restore. Wade mentioned, as if we are successful in getting foundation money to build a new Restore building, we will also be needing to add employed staff to help us staff that. So we see it as a part of that package, some additional jobs for citizens in this area.
Just as a point of what is a point of curiosity for a lot of people, is where do the people come from? The last 7 houses that we have turned over have gone to Lapine residents.
That's good.
2 of which actually graduated from high school in Lapine.
That's
really
good.
Does anybody have any other questions?
So that's going to be that would be your unrestricted, which is the second line under materials and services, where it's the number is 2220, kind of look, but it's the second line there. Community fund unrestricted. Feel far clear to the right column. We proposed 5,000. Last year, we actually had 8 in that. So when you get to discussing if we, and that money arrives there from the general fund. So if you wanted to increase that to 8, it means we'll decrease something in the general fund. And if that's something you guys wanted to do, you know, we could make that move if that's something you needed to do. But they, but his has to come out of that fund because he's not having anything to do with fancy room tax.
I'm sorry, Rick, what was that number again?
It's
2220.
It's the page you're on.
Second one under material.
Are you on, you're on the wrong page.
You're on page 7.
Tourism fund?
This one right here.
Ah, there it is. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Ann, you want to go up here?
Okay. I brought stuff. Well, I started paperwork, and then my girls decided that you needed to have backup materials as well. So, what these are, and there may be enough for everybody. This is a sample of what we at the Visitor Center give out on a regular basis to visitors. This is what we're calling our spring packet. It has the brand new